Hello, I'm Pastor Tracy Wilson. My wife and I, along with the Real Gospel Missionary Baptist Church family, welcome you to this week's podcast. We hope that our service will be a blessing to you and your family.
Praise the Lord, saints. Come on, praise the Lord, saints. Come on, somebody, put your hands together and let's give God some praise. All he did was wake you up this morning. All he did is get you throughout your week. All he did is give you right mind. All he did was bless your household each and every day. That's what he did. He kept you. That's the type of God that we serve. Oh, come on and magnify the Lord with me. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning to each and every one of you here in the sanctuary, and also to those who are out there on Facebook and also on YouTube, and those who listen to the podcast. It is indeed a good morning. Why is it a good morning? Because our God is still on the throne and he's always good. Whew. Well, before we get into the word of God, just to recap on what Lady J was saying, and I thank you, Lady J. Let me tell you something about my wife. We've been rolling for 30 years now. It'll be 30 years on August 22nd, and I thank God for that. And I thank God for when you do ministry and things, some things are deemed to be very important. And when they're important, there has to be a way to be able to convey that information. And I thank God for Lady J, who is a Christian, who understands the fact that she has tough skin. And what that means is that she's able to accept correction. Hallelujah. And she knows that it's in love. She knows that. But there's certain things of God that we don't play with. There's certain things where certain parameters of the things of God that we have to make sure that we adhere to. And anytime we're talking about Resurrection Day, we're talking about the very core of the theme of what we do as Christians, which is to celebrate the day that Christ got up. Because if he does not get up, then we're still laden in our sins. And if we're still laden in our sins, then hell would be our home. And so that's the only reason we did that. But it's going to be a Holy Ghost time. We're praying in advance. If the Lord says so and we make it to that day, my wife made a little video with regards to welcome back. And so we're going to play that real quick before we go forward.
Welcome back, welcome back.
Amen. All right. Hallelujah. So we thank God for that. And so I thank God again because she was able to do that and she's still smiling. That means when I get home, everything's going to be all right. Brother Steve, you understand what I'm saying? Amen. If mama ain't right, the house ain't right. My Lord, but we thank God for that. And so now it's time to get into the word of God. And just like every other Sunday, I need prayer. This is going to be we're going to go through some territory here. And it's a lot of information. And I don't want anybody to faint in the way. Hallelujah. And so I need everybody, if you're able, we're going to read together out of Psalm 95. Psalm 95. We're going to read the entire Psalm. Psalm 95. And then just in advance, we're going to be preaching out of a familiar text, which is going to be out of Numbers 13. And so Psalm 95, if you can get that ready, and then Numbers 13. And there's a lot of information, and the Lord has put on my heart that we're going to do a series within a series. Hallelujah. So with all under the overarching umbrella of spiritual maturity, but we're going to taken in a slightly different direction today over the next couple of weeks, if the Lord says so. Amen. He has to say so. Amen. That's why we pray about things before we go forward in them, if the Lord says so. Hallelujah. But I hope I did not damper anybody's spirit with regards to the dialogue. My wife and I, this is what we do. We do Jesus. Hallelujah. And I can tell you there's several things she tell me. She said, nope, not this, that, or the other. And I pray about it, and we follow suit. Amen. If you have your Bible, lift it up over your head. If you have your cell phone, if you have your tablet, or maybe you just reserved yourself to memorize everything that God said in his book, and I appreciate your talent. But lift yourself up before the Lord and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Let us start. Say, this is my Bible. This is God's word unto me. All that it says I am, I am. All that it says I possess, I possess. I thank you, Lord, for your written word. I thank you, Lord. I didn't make up this word, but I believe your word. For you declared in your word that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen. Remain standing if you can. Hallelujah. Again, we're going to read in unison. That's all together. Psalm 95. Hallelujah. Let's read on the count of three. One, two, three. Let us read. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long I was grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. You may be seated in this place. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Most High God, Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. We lift you high, Father God, and we give you glory, Father. We thank you, Father God, for last night's lying down, Lord, and getting us all throughout the week, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for our church home, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for every single member, Lord, and Father God, every single human being, Lord, that's coming to our building, for all the visitors, Father God, and those who know the ministry, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord, for it's an opportunity, Father God, for us to fellowship, because we are forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. Now, Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would use me as a vessel of honor and not dishonor, Lord. I pray, Lord, that I might be anointed, Lord, to preach your word, Lord, that it might be unabridged and unadulterated, Lord, that I might be able, Lord, to go, Father God, in, oh, Father God, and do the things that you have called me to do, Lord. Lord, I deem it to be, Lord, a tough message, but I know in you, Lord, that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly and above those things, Lord, that we can even ask or think. So I ask, Lord, that you use me, Father God, that it be, Father God, none of me and all of you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, rest, rule, and abide in this place, Lord. And Father God, I pray, Lord, that all of the technology work according to your will and according to your word. And I pray, Father, that you would bind the enemy right now in the name of Jesus, that would try to hinder, that would try to put obstacles, that would try to thwart us and stop us, Lord, from pursuing you even higher, Father God. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do, and we give you praise and honor and glory for it in advance. Through Christ's sake, we pray, amen, and thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Today, again, we're going to continue our installment from the theme of spiritual maturity. And today, we're going to concentrate on the word confidence. Confidence. And for the next 3 weeks, hallelujah, if the Lord says so, if he allows me to live, and if he keeps me on this course, we're going to talk about spiritual maturity from a confidence standpoint. Confidence. There's a lot of information that we're going to go over the next 3 weeks. And again, I don't want to lose anybody. And so there's going to be a fair amount of reading and preaching and teaching on this. And because I believe that it's very, very important. And so when we talk about confidence, we're talking about boldness. We're talking about assurance. Hallelujah. We're talking about the believer being in a position where they can have a demeanor and that they can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has them. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 4, in speaking about Abraham, it first talks about the fact that Abraham believed God, and unto him it was imputed righteousness. So we know that righteousness came upon Abraham because Abraham believed God. We know that from an Old Testament standpoint, believing God is what got you to Abraham's bosom upon death. And we know from a New Testament standpoint, we believe, or we have faith in the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so Abraham believed God, and then it went on to say, and it talked about the fact that Abraham's belief in God, the Bible says that he was fully persuaded that what God had promised he would also perform. And so he had this confidence, hallelujah, in the fact that God was his God, and because he was his God, that God's will would be done. And so for the believer, we have to have the same type of demeanor, church, that we're confident in the things of God. And so that's going to be our theme for the next 3 weeks: confidence, boldness, and assurance. Hallelujah. And so I want you to look for confidence with regards to the word of God that we preach over the next 3 weeks. And we're going to use as an example, we're going to go to Numbers chapter number 13. Numbers chapter number 13. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's get ready. Let's get set in Numbers 13 chapter 1. Let's go. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Numbers chapter number 13, verse 1, the Bible says in verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, hallelujah, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of the fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And so we have God here speaking emphatically unto his servant Moses. And we know that he raised up Moses in order to deliver his people from bondage, because we know the Bible says in Exodus chapter number 2 that because of the bondage that the people suffered in Egypt, we know that the people sighed because of the bondage. We know that the people cried because of the bondage. And we know because of that, what God did was he raised up Moses to be a deliverer. Remember, he told Moses, when Moses inquired, who shall I say sent me? Hallelujah. He said, I am that I am. And we know that he raised him up that the people of God might be able to be delivered from the very slavery they were going through in Egypt, that they might be delivered to be able to worship the Lord at Mount Sinai. We know upon Mount Sinai, we're given information that when Moses went up on the mountain alone, we know that God gave him the very Ten Commandments. We know that God wrote them or hewn them in stone by his finger. He wrote in the tablets and gave them, hallelujah, the Ten Commandments. We know upon Moses coming down to deliver the word unto the people that the people were going crazy. We know that they had a molten calf of gold, right, that they made. We know that Aaron was in full compliance, and we understand that Moses took the tablets hewn in stone by God, the Ten Commandments, and he threw them on the ground and broke them. And we know that God later on gave him another set, but in that moment, we know that Moses was frustrated with the people of God, because it shows that in absence of good leadership, people will go astray. Hallelujah. And then we know that God had them in the wilderness. And while they were in the wilderness, hallelujah, we know that the people did some things that God did not like. And so we know that the overall goal of being in the wilderness was to get the people from, hallelujah, and the land of Egypt unto the promised land. And we know that God said that this land would be a land full of milk and honey. Hallelujah. How many of you know, hallelujah, that for the New Testament believer, the theme is that God wants us to get to the promised land, that place of everlasting rest, and that is heaven. Hallelujah. And so in order to get from Egypt into the promised land, they had to go through the wilderness. That's a time of testing, a time of temptation. And how many of you know, in order for us to make it to heaven, hallelujah, we have to go through this world. And in this world there's testing and temptation. But the Lord Jesus showed us in Matthew chapter number 3 and 4 exactly how we should approach the wilderness experience. We need to be full of the Spirit, and we need to be able to have the Spirit of God bring to our remembrance the very word of God, that we can be able to confess what is written. Hallelujah. And so as we get into this particular juncture of scripture, hallelujah, we see that God is given a directive to Moses, hallelujah, to send men into the land of Canaan. They would be spies. They would be the search committee. And he says, I need you to go and send a man, everyone, a ruler amongst them. And so we know we're talking about the children of Israel, or we're talking about, hallelujah, Jacob's kids. We're talking about, hallelujah, the 12 tribes of Israel. And so we're not going to read verses 3 through 15, but what he did was he selected from each particular tribe, hallelujah, a representative from that tribe. I need you to go with me. Starting with verse 16, the Bible said, these are the names of the men which Moses sent out to spy the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And we're talking about Joshua there, just for clarification. The Bible says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Cana, and went unto them, and said, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And so we see here now that he's given the directive from God, and now he's giving, hallelujah, those who have been selected from every tribe, and he's telling them that they need to go forth and spy out the land, hallelujah. See what the condition of the land is, see what the inhabitants are, because this would be a land that God would give them as an inheritance for them and also their posterity. Hallelujah. But how many of you understand the fact that in this particular patch of scripture, hallelujah, by spying out the land, they're not giving any new information to God? It's important to denote that God knows everything. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. So they're not doing it for the benefit of God. But how many of you know, hallelujah, because God is all-knowing, that when God sends you to get information, that information is not for him, it's for you. Hallelujah. And so we see here that God is going to do something here. Hallelujah. And we won't talk about it just yet, but God is doing something, because God knows, hallelujah, what people need. God knows, hallelujah, how to get you to be in a position where you can look at self. Hallelujah. Because sometimes you think you're one fashion of man or one fashion of woman, but you don't really know who you are until you look at yourself through the glimpse of the eyes of God. I hope that's making sense to somebody. But the Bible says, and what the land is that they dwell in, again, whether it be good or bad, and what cities that they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And so again, it's going to give them information as to what they're going to come against when they get into the land of Cana. I have to tell you that the land of Cana has already been promised by God to his children. And so we have to learn, church, how to hold on to God's promises. The Bible says, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, in verse 20, whether there be wood thereon or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. And so we see here that God has now fashioned this directive to be at a time that they could see what the land yielded. Hallelujah. Because remember, he told Moses when he called him that it would be a land full of milk and honey. And so God fashioned the timing of the expedition of the spies to be at a time where the land would yield its fruit. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rahab, as the men cometh to Hamath. Let's skip down to 25. The Bible says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And I want you to note the time period of 40 days. We know that when judgment came upon the earth, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. In this particular sentence, instance, we find now that they were there for 40 days. That's going to be instrumental. I need that to lock that in your memory. 40 days meant something there. Now remember, thank you, Holy Ghost. Now, we remember when Jesus was in the wilderness, the Bible says that afterward he became hungry, right? And so we're going to see how we can do a spiritual gymnastic and understand what the 40 days is all about. The Bible says in verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and shewed them the fruit of the land. And they told them him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So we need to talk about it for a little bit, because we're talking about, hallelujah, the fact that they were obedient to the very voice of God. Why? Because God spoke it to Moses, and Moses spoke it to them, and they did the directive. And the directive was to go out and to spy out and to search the land, and they did the things that Moses told them to do, which God ultimately told Moses to tell them to do. So that they were successful, hallelujah, in putting their hands to the plow and following out the directions, hallelujah. How many of you know that we need to follow God's plan to the T, even as New Testament Christians? When God puts something upon your heart, we need to go ahead and do it, hallelujah, to the glory of the Lord. And so they went and they found the land as being a land, what? Flowing with milk and honey, just like God said it would. It also says, and they brought back the fruit of it, hallelujah. And the Bible says, here is the fruit. The Bible says, nevertheless, in verse 28, the people, hallelujah, be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, we got to talk about this, because they talk about the people as being strong. Mm-hmm. And so, how many of you understand the fact that when we talk about the land flowing with milk and honey, and we talk about that's going to be the place, hallelujah, that God wants you to dwell, just like when we talk about heaven, how many of you would understand that that place we can construe as being a blessing given from God? Hallelujah. The promised land was a blessing that would be given to the children of Israel from him, right? And so that's a blessing. Heaven to people who are believers that are that believe in Christ Jesus, it is a blessing. But I wanted to tell you something, that anytime God has a blessing reserved for you, there's oftentimes some obstacles that come in your path before you can get to your blessing. Oh, can I talk to somebody? Everybody thinks it's a smooth ride to do the things of God, but I'm here to beg differ. I'm going to differ on this, because I know, hallelujah, that anytime you're trying to do the things of God, you're going to face opposition. Anytime you're trying to get somewhere in God, you're going to face some stiff opposition. How many of you know that that enemy never wants you to receive the things of God? And so we see here now that he's talking about the land filled of milk and honey, and we're talking about from the spy's perspective. But when God gave the information out to Moses, he never talked about the people being great there. Ooh. When God gave out the information, we're going to see that the way they saw it is different than the way God saw it, because God doesn't see an obstacle as something that cannot be overcome. When God speaks something, how many of you know when you follow him, hallelujah, you're going to have success, you're going to have victory? But we are men and women, and in this case it was the men, they're sight driven, and so when they spied out the land and they looked at the inhabitants of the land, they saw, hallelujah, that there were some walls around, right? They saw, hallelujah, that the people in the land were great. And I want to give some comfort to somebody. Just because you see somebody that may be standing in the way of your blessing, all you got to do is remember that God told you that you're going to have it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Bible says the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites. They dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. The Bible said, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Hallelujah. And so I want to talk to somebody who's willing to step up and to step out and make an impact, hallelujah, on all the body of believers. Because we see here now that one steps up and says, wait a minute now, I see the obstacles that have come. Because again, in order to get to the blessing of God, you have to go through obstacles. Hallelujah. You had to go through obstacles to get in that good job that you're working at. There was stiff competition, but God gave you, hallelujah, the word that you were going to get it. And even though the opposition came up, you were still able to secure it. Oh my goodness, there's somebody that wanted to have children, but maybe you were barren for a season. But if God told you that your children and your children's children will be blessed, you can best believe that children were going to come through your womb. Oh, come on, you can put any type of scenario in there and you can see that God does exactly what he said he's going to do. Do I have any witnesses online or in the building that knows that when God gives you something, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it will come to pass? You've been through enough struggles. You've been through enough trials and tribulations to know that when God puts his mouth on something, he's going to give them the power, hallelujah, to see it the way he sees it. And so we see here in this particular scripture that Caleb stood up before Moses and the other 11. And he said, let's go up at once. He said, let's do it right now. There's no hesitation. There's no delay. Because there was something about Caleb. He thought that they could possess it. He said, because we're able to overcome it. Because you're able to overcome anything when God is simply on your side. I don't care what stands in your way. If God said it, he's going to do it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Bible says here, but the men that went up with him said, it's their turn. We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And so I want to talk about what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, from going from natural to spiritual. Because natural looks through the lens of natural eyes. Natural says, when I look at this man, he's bigger than me. If I look at this man, he's stronger than me. If I look at this man, they have more men than we have. If I look at what we have to overcome, we got some that are settled by the seashore, some that are up in the mountains. They got walls around the city. They're looking with their natural eyes. But we know from an old and a New Testament perspective that we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. But they're sight driven here. And so we got so far, we got Caleb standing up for the things of God, saying we can do it. And now we got the other folks. I'm only going to say 10. I ain't going to say 11 because y'all know the story. But the other 10 are saying we can't do it. Because they're looking at their limitations. Hallelujah. Now Moses should be understanding of this, because you got to think, he wasn't always a mighty man of God. When Moses started out, he started out a little weak himself because he was looking at his own limitations. But let me tell you something. After you walk so far with God, you ought to get to the point where you say, wait a minute, God, I know I'm limited, but with you with me, I'm unlimited. Is there anybody who knows that when God is on your side, you're more than a conqueror? When God is on your side, there's nothing that's going to separate you from the love that be in Christ Jesus. And if God be for you, my church, who can be against you? Hallelujah. What I'm saying is, you got to have, thank you, Holy Ghost, some confidence. You got to have the confidence to know that God is with you. You got to have confidence, like Caleb said, and say, wait a minute, we can go right now. Because as soon as God gives the word, we know that we will be victorious. Hallelujah. He says we're well able to overcome it, overcome any obstacle that comes our way. And the Bible said those men, they said, wait a minute, they're stronger than us. And so they are not operating in faith. And the opposite of faith is fear. And that's what it is. Because if you don't think you're going to be successful and you're fighting people, how many of you know that your very life is going to be on the line? And so they're operating in fear, which is the opposite of faith. So we got Caleb over here standing on faith, and we got the others, hallelujah, beside Joshua, standing on fear. The Bible says, and they brought up what an evil report of the land. And so basically what they're doing is this. Thank you, Holy Ghost, you didn't give it to me last night at 3 a.m. We find that they give an evil report. How can you give something and how can you construe something as being an evil place or an evil report when it's given as the blessing of God. They're taking God's blessing and they're trying to turn it into a curse because it doesn't look like something that they'll be able to inhabit. I want to talk to somebody. God's given you a directive. He's given you a promise. He's given you a purpose. And you know that the purpose is good. But once you start to get involved in searching out and looking at the purpose, you get afraid. And because you get afraid, you're not receiving the very blessing of God, but you're saying, I don't want any part of it. I want to talk to somebody. God told you who to marry. Yes, he did. And so you married that person, but now you don't like that person. Because when you investigated, you found some flaws in that person. But how many of you know that when you evaluate anybody, if you're looking for flaws from them, you'll find some. But if you look at yourself, you'll find some as well. Hallelujah. And then there's some people that will then back off and say, I don't want to be with this individual because of the flaws they have. But God is saying, you bring some flaws to the table too. But if I'm the one that told you to marry that particular person, don't you listen to your flesh. Don't you listen to your eyes. But you go forward because I'm the one that's able to put you together and to keep you together. Oh, I feel Jesus in here. Somebody knows the name of Gomer. I feel God in here. What did he tell? He said, go and marry the harlot. Hallelujah. Now, who wants to do that? Who wants to marry somebody who's with everybody? But when God tells you to do it, he's telling you to do it for a reason. And how many of you know who can resist the very will of my God? My God, I feel Jesus. It's heating up in here. They brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Again, they're looking at something bigger than themselves. But isn't this just a setup from God? Because God loves it. Hallelujah. When we look at something and we know that we're not able to overcome it in and of ourselves. And the reason he loves that is, that means that the total reliance of being able to secure the thing that God has given is when you fully submit yourself unto God. We talked about it last week, didn't we? We talked about full submission in the things of God, because I can't be committed to do the things of God unless I'm fully, hallelujah, subjected unto him. We see that they thought that they were committed because they went forth and spied out the land. But when they got back, that evil report followed them because they didn't remember the fact that God said, this is the land I'm giving to you. So how can you dare say that you won't be able to inhabit it? What you're doing is you're speaking against God. Now, it's fine to understand your limitations, but do not confuse your limitations with God's unlimited power. You got to see, just like we talked about the cost of a disciple, we know, hallelujah, that we ought to, as believers in Christ, know that with God on our side, nothing can stand in our way and survive, because God is with us and he'll give us this necessary power and the necessary resources to do what his will said he will do. My God, my God. And so they said, the men are of great stature. The Bible said, and there we saw the giants. Oh, come on, the sons of Anak. Now we got to know that there's giants in the land. We're in the book of Numbers. We ain't got to David yet, but we know how David looked at the giant. But even as David looked at the giant, we see here, hallelujah, that the same type of fear comes upon the people of God in the days of Moses than it did in the days of David. Because if David don't step up to go against Goliath, how many of you would understand the fact that most of the army of the Lord, they were scared? Same type of fear. Oh, come on, we can go to 2022 if you want to. There's some giants in the land, isn't there? There's some things you don't think you'll be able to overcome. God said he was going to get you debt free. But all you see is all those bills. And right now those bills are looking so high, you don't think you can ever get up out of it. But I'm here to tell you, if you follow the very plan of God and do what God tells you to do, God will make you successful. No matter what giant stands in your way, you got to understand the fact, the same way that David had 5 smooth stones and it only took one, hallelujah, to defeat it, is the same way we can have 5, which is the number of grace. And with grace on your side, when you move forward, you shall be victorious. I don't care how many demons and how many devils and how many snakes and how many giants giant stand before you, I know that God is able. He's well able to do everything that he said he's going to do. So we got to get the right mindset, church. And the mindset is to stop looking in self and start looking for God. The Bible said there were giants, the sons of Anak, which have come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Hallelujah. And so we were in their sight. That's the problem. They got to fix their sight. Their sight ain't right. I feel God in here. They're looking at their own sight as grasshoppers. Quit looking at how small you are and look how big our God is. I feel God in here. Because when you look at yourself, you're going to see limitations. When you look at yourself, you're going to see weaknesses. When you look at yourself, you're going to see all types of things that don't prove out to be something of strength. But when you look at God, isn't your perspective a lot different? And so you got to stop. Even when you're assessing the land, it's okay to look at the land with natural eyes, but you make sure when you look at where God's taking you, you look through spiritual eyes. Yeah, the giants are great, but my God is bigger. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. My God, my God. This all basic stuff for you, but it's all right. We're going to go forward. Let's go to chapter 14. The Bible says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Now, I'm going to tell you something about leadership. Hallelujah. And even what transpired today, I thank God for that. Because good leadership, you're held accountable for the people that you lead. You're held accountable. Yes, you are. And for those, hallelujah, that said that we appear in our own sight as being grasshoppers, how many of you know that they sowed a seed of fear in the congregation? Remember, the congregation never went and spied out the land, but the congregation was waiting for a report, and their report was evil. So what are they doing to the confidence of the people? What are they doing to the faith of the people? We know something. These are the same people that God delivered, hallelujah, from Egypt. These are the same people that witnessed, hallelujah, when God parted the Red Sea. These are the same people that when God drowned Pharaoh and all of his chariots and all of his men, they were in victory. But these are the same people, once they got in the wilderness and couldn't find water, but then got to Marah, the water was bitter, and they started to put their mouth on Moses. This is the same people that time after time, they got upset because they believed that where they came from, which was Egypt, was better off than where God was taking them, which is the promised land. So the people have a natural nature to draw back unto the past of bondage when things aren't looking the way they need to look. And so the leadership, hallelujah, is just like the people. And so you have to be able to inspect leadership and say leadership is not good when they're not following to the things of God. Leadership is not good when they don't believe that God can, then when they don't believe that God is able, because what you're doing is you're causing the people to go in fear. You're causing the people to go in doubt. You're causing the people to be in unbelief. I want to tell you, because everybody's a leader in their home, and if you got children, don't walk around with a defeated attitude. You better teach your children that God can. Yeah, I know things are tough, but God is able. Yeah, I know some things are hard to overcome, but God will do what he's going to do. Isn't that better than being a parent that has a bunch of excuses? You never will succeed. They're always going to hold you down. You're never going to amount to nothing. It's too hard to get in school. Ain't no jobs out here. Ain't no good men. Ain't no good women. All that negativity breeds negativity, and it causes people to stay in bondage. But I want to talk to somebody who's liberated. I want to talk to somebody that God's done something for you. I want to talk to somebody that you were blind, but now you can see. You were deaf, but now you can hear. You were lame, but now you can walk. Am I talking to somebody who knows that they've been through some things with God? You would think that these people would be able to have some appreciation for the things of God. God did miracles in their path. He showed Pharaoh who the real God is. He showed the people all types of plagues that he can do. Hallelujah. He showed the people
people how he could take bitter waters of Marah and he can make those waters sweet. He showed the people how he could use Moses to speak to the rock and water's going to gush out. He showed the people just who he is. And I want to talk to somebody. God showed you just who he is, but you still doubt. God showed you how powerful he is, but you still think you won't make it. God showed you that from everlasting to everlasting, he's God. He's differentiated himself from anyone else, but you still walk in unbelief. You still real careful. You're real gun shy. But God said, get up, step up, move up, and step out and do his very will. But the majority of the people are in fear. So that leadership has to be accounted for, because when you're in leadership, it ain't only about you, boo. It's about the people who are hearing your voice. It's one thing to be overcome with fear if you're just a lay person, but it's another thing to have fear when you're a leader. I feel God in here. And the Bible says, and the congregation's crying, and they cried and the people wept that night. Sounds like the same voices of those who were crying when they were in bondage in Egypt. How many of you know this life will make you cry more than once, especially if you don't believe God? My God, God got you out of that messed up marriage. Hallelujah. But now you're crying again. I feel Jesus in here. He got you out of that job you said you couldn't stand. But now the new job he told you to go to, you're crying again. Oh, I feel God pushing me here. You had your favorite child. They made you cry. Now you got your child coming up behind him and he's making you cry. You'll cry again. Can I talk to people who have cried more than once over some situations? But God is saying, when I tell you it's a blessing, you don't need to have no tears, because when I tell you it's a blessing, it's only going to cause you joy. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says that the gifts of God, that means when he gives you a gift, that's something you didn't earn. When he gives you a gift, that's something he wants you to have. And God is saying, when I give you a gift, the gifts of the Lord make it rich and it adds no sorrow. They got sorrow. Why do they have sorrow? Because they don't believe in the gift. And if you don't believe in the gift, you don't believe in the giver of the gift. God is the giver of the gift. He gave the gift. And so since he gives the gift ought to be good, because everything he does for his people is good. Why? Because all things work together for the good. But them who are called according to it. You got to love God and be called according to his purpose. I feel Jesus pushing me in this place. The Bible said in the children of Israel, they murmured against Moses. Here we go again. You got your mouth on the things you don't understand. You got your mouth on the one that you do see. See, they're really trying to talk about God. But they're going to talk about Moses, who is the leader. The Bible said they murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Why are they going to murmur against them? What did they do wrong? All they did was follow after the directives of God. The Bible says here, they're murmuring. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we have died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Here we go again. Invoking the death sentence. They're always believing from time to time that they're going to die. They start thinking about what they were eating in Egypt, and they were hungry in the wilderness. But God is trying to show them that I'm your everything. That means if you don't see it, you got to believe it. You got to believe. I did not bring you from bondage into this wilderness to die of starvation. Remember, he rained down manna so everybody could eat. He gave you enough manna that even when you had the Sabbath, hallelujah, he'll give you twice as much the day before, that you'll have everything you need. He said, I'll give you my daily bread. And how many of you know, for a new believer, that bread is Jesus. He is the bread of life. And as long as you got Jesus, get a helping of Jesus, just a little more Jesus, each and every day, you're going to be all right spiritually. And if you got Jesus, he'll make sure your body is fed physically. Am I talking to somebody who understands? Can I talk to somebody who's been around for a while? Can I talk to somebody who understands that you were young, but now you're old, but you never seen, hallelujah, the righteous forsaken, nor the seed of the righteous begging no bread. God's taken care of you down through the years. God's taken care of you through the ups and downs. God has taken care of you through all the things you've gone through. So why not say, wait a minute, God, your resume is good with me. Wait a minute, God, your record is spotless with me. So therefore, even when I see something I can't understand, I'm just going to simply trust in you. Yeah. Yeah. The Bible said they murmurs against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said unto him, "Would we have died in Egypt, or would God have had us die in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land?" Why did God bring us here? Wait a minute. They got to watch their mouth. I want to talk to somebody. You better watch your mouth when God tells you to do something, and now you're questioning why he's telling you to do it. You better watch your mouth. You better watch who you're putting your mouth on. Because the last I checked, it's in him we live. It's in him we move. And it's in him we have our very being. God has lent you the breath to be able to muster up in your brain and speak out of your heart and out of your mouth the things you're saying. So you got to watch who you're talking about. And if God has raised up a servant, if he's talking through the servant, if you talk about the servant, you're talking about his sender. I feel Jesus in here. He said, "And wherefore have the Lord brought us into this land? To fall by the sword? That our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt?" Ain't that some ungrateful stuff? It's some ungrateful stuff when you cry and you sigh and you beg God to save you. Only to find out that when God puts you in the next position or on your journey to the next position, hallelujah, you begin to complain again. Always complaining. You were complaining when you were in bondage, and now you're complaining again when you're free. Hallelujah, always complaining. My God, my God. But the Bible says here, and they said to one another in verse 4, "Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt." Ain't they crazy? They crazy. They said, "Let's make a captain." That means, hallelujah. If they said, "Let us make a captain," that means that they have lost what? They have lost all types of what? They have lost, hallelujah, confidence in Moses. And when you lose confidence in Moses, you're really losing confidence in God. As long as Moses is doing everything that God has told him to do, you don't blindly follow any leader. But understand, Old Testament, God wasn't rapping to everybody. He was selecting who he would talk through, and so you were instructed to follow him. New Testament, Paul said, "Follow me as what I follow Christ." So there is no must to follow somebody who's not following according to the things of God. But you say, "Well, how do I know?" Well, you got to know God for yourself. And if you know him for yourself, nobody can lead you astray and you won't end up in the ditch. But they're trying to replace Moses. So just by Moses doing, I got to talk to Moses right now. I want to talk to the Moseses that are in the room. I want to talk to the Moseses that are online. I want to talk to the leaders. And I want to know how it feels when you're trying to lead your family, but your children go in a different direction. I want to talk, you're trying to be a team leader at your job, but everybody ain't on board on the direction that you're going in, and you're not making up the direction. Come on, Moses is out there. At your job, you're following the directive of the company. You're trying to do the company's mission statement. You're trying to work the plan of the company, but you find that the people under you, they ain't having it. They ain't having it, and they ain't hearing it. And your job don't have, I'm going to leave it right there. And so what am I talking about, God? Hallelujah. The Bible says we're going to make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Let us go back to the place, hallelujah, from which we were in bondage. You got to be worried now, because what, saints of the Most High God, when you think that bondage is better than freedom, there's something wrong with your mind. But you know what? Thank you, Holy Ghost. That's what the devil will do. The devil will make you think that the very blessing of God is a curse. I feel God in here. I got to say it again. That's what the enemy will do. The enemy will try to create an environment where you think that the very great things of God, the goodness of God, is not going to do you much good. But it's looked at as being a curse. And how will you really spitting in the face of God where we're saying, God, the land that's been promised to us, we're saying that that land is worse than the land we came from slavery? The devil is a lie. But if you don't have on spiritual antennas, if you're not looking at the situation through spiritual eyes, you can fall for the deception of the enemy.
We got to bring it home for today. And the Bible says we're going to make a captain and let us go back into bondage. The Bible says that Moses and Aaron, they fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Good leadership, hallelujah, lays down their own life, hallelujah, for the ones that follow. They intercede, that's what they're doing, hallelujah. Moses is interceding on behalf of the children of Israel. Don't you know Jesus intercedes on behalf of each and every one of us? Don't you know every time we grieve the Spirit, every time, hallelujah, we quench the Spirit, the Lord Jesus is standing in the gap, because there's only one God and there's only one mediator between man and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah to his name. The Bible said they fell on their face. And the Bible said in 6, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Bible said, which were of them that searched the land, they tore their clothes. Do you see that they're acting as leaders? Because it has an impact. See, I want to talk to people who understand it's not about you only. It's not about being selfish. But when God gives you a directive, when God gives you a revelation, when God gives you something that you know that you stand on, it's incumbent upon you to want the other people to have the same ideology when you know it came from God. That's why I love Paul, because Paul's desire and his heart for the people of Israel was that they might be saved. That's the kind of heart you got to have, not just a heart that's selfish that said, well, I know Jesus, I'm good, forget everybody else. I want to talk to some people who are dealing with family members that don't know God. Don't you get weary in well-doing, but just like they did, fall on your face before God in your prayer closet and lift up your heathen people before God. I ain't trying to be mean. I got to do it myself. For those who don't know Jesus, we got to lift them up before God. We got to intercede before God. How? You lay on your face sometimes. How? You get in your prayer closet sometimes. How? You talk to God and you say, God, have mercy on my family. God, just bestow a little grace on my family. God, I know you're a loving, kind God. Please, Lord, shed your loving kindness upon them. God, I know that you're not a respecter of persons. Surely, God, if you can deliver me, you can deliver my family members. Am I making any sense here? But the devil would have you think that your family will never change. The devil will have you think that they're on their way to hell and nobody can stop them. But you got to remember, in your life, you are on your way to hell too. But God blocked the path and he said, today is the day of victory for you. So if God can do it for you, why can't he do it for your family member? If you think your family members are going to hell, shame on you, because what you're doing is you're cutting off the very power of God, and you're looking just like, hallelujah, they look, because you're seeing your family members being captured by the devil, and they might be in the devil's camp right now, but you're seeing the devil as a giant and you're saying, this giant is too big. My sister won't stop fornicating. This giant is too big. My son won't stop doing drugs. The giant is too big. He won't stop doing meth, cocaine, and everything else. The giant is too big. He'll always suck up off of women and won't take care of his children. The giant is too big. That brother will never pay no bills. He'll always have a credit bureau on zilch. Hallelujah. You got to stop being like all 10 and be like Joshua and Caleb, and says no matter what the giant is, we can and we shall overcome. So the Bible says, they spake, Joshua, they rent their clothes. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Now, I got to mention here, he references a land flowing with milk and honey, just as God did. The people, the other spies, did mention that it was a land filled with milk and honey. But they didn't believe that they could enter in and capture it. And so we see here now, if you looked at a comparison and contrasting, we see here now that their message to them is that, wait a minute now, if God is happy with us, meaning if we remain holy, then he's going to bring us to the land and he's going to give it to us. Hallelujah. And a land is going to flow with milk and honey. He says, only rebel not ye against the Lord. He's saying, if you want these things to transpire, you got to obey God. I got to talk about it for a minute, because we have this ideology that comes from prosperity preaching that when you can name it and claim it, whatever you want to do, you can do. No. You got to understand, God will give you the desires of your heart. I've heard that so much in my life, but nobody continues to read on and talk about the fact that you got to commit yourself unto him. But when you commit yourself unto him, then guess what? Then he'll bring those things to pass. But if you really want to understand the secret, hallelujah, to answer prayer, it's when your prayer is according to the will of God. See, one thing you can make for sure, when it's according to God's will, it shall be accomplished. So when we pray according to his will, you say, well, I don't know God's will for my situation. I'll give you a hint. When you pray his word is his will. But do not take his word out of context. I want to talk. There's a whole lot of folk taking God's word out of context, and you're utilizing the word for your own selfish desires. And so what you're doing is, you're, thank you, Holy Ghost, you are using the letter of the word and not understanding the spirit of the word. And and from that, the letter of the word, what you're doing is you're praying for natural results. That ain't how you're supposed to do it. We pray after a revelation of the spirit of the word, because the spirit deals with the heart. And if we pray after the spirit of the word and we understand the revelation that God would give us for that word, we can put that word in proper context and we can pray that God's will be done. Hallelujah. Don't get sad if God don't do it for you. That just meant it wasn't part of his will. But we know that what the devil makes for bad, and God will turn it around for your good. So if God shuts a door that you think he needs to reopen, hallelujah, don't keep banging at that door. Say, thank you, Jesus, because behind curtain number one might be something that I don't need to receive. But thank God for his will, and say, God, wherever you lead me, that's where I'll go. How can the steps of a good man be ordered by God? Hallelujah. How can it be to that person's delight in his ways? We delight in his ways when we follow exactly what God tells us to do. It may not be your plan, but what is your plan anyway? We need a plan from the man who stilled the waters. Hallelujah. The Bible says here, where we're at now, they rent their clothes. He said it's a good land, flowing with milk and honey. Two more verses. One more verse and we're gone. The Bible says, only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. Don't you be scared, for they are bread for us. Don't you know that bread is something that you can consume? That means you can consume the people. They're nothing but bread. And if you think about it, bread ain't even hard to digest. Not that bread they give us now. So the Bible says they're bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. Why? Because it's only God that can give them a defense that will be able to be stronger than our offense. Can I talk to somebody? He said the defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. We're going to stop right there for today. Next week, if the Lord allows next week to come, we're going to pick up from there. Hallelujah. In part two. But I want to talk to somebody before I leave. And that's you don't be scared. We know that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. We know, hallelujah, the Lord is our light and salvation. Whom shall we fear? The Lord is the light of our life. In whom shall we be afraid? And so the message to the church is this. Don't you be afraid when you see things that you think are hard to overcome. Don't you be afraid when the devil is blocking the door of blessing that God has set for you. Don't you know that God opens up doors that no man can shut? The devil can't shut a door for you that God has opened. He can't do anything without permission. And so you hold on to God's unchanging hand. You hold on to God's word. And if you get in a position where you're a little bit wary, link up with somebody who knows that God is good. Link up with somebody whose faith isn't, hallelujah, varying. I'm so glad that even though there were 12 spies and 10 of them were operating in fear, that God had two. Hallelujah. The two can be me and you. That's all God needs is a witness. And if he has somebody to be a witness, how many of you know he can change your very mindset? Didn't God do that for you? He changed your mindset on a whole lot of things. Some of us who used to laugh at church and think that people that were in church were crazy for going that much, think that people that read the Bible, what are they doing? They got to be crazy for doing that. What are these people praying? Praying to a God they can't see. The same ones that did that are now rejoicing because God took the veil off of your mind. He took the scales off of your eyes so that you can see. And so the encouraging word for today is this. Hallelujah. You need to gain some confidence. But the only way you gain from confidence is to not put confidence in your flesh. See, they put confidence in their flesh. I feel Jesus pushing me. I know I'm trying to end. They put confidence in their flesh because their flesh told them that there's giants in the land. The flesh told them that they got walled cities. The flesh told them that the people are mightier than me, but I'm not going to have any confidence in the flesh. You said, well, that's Old Testament. You better look in Philippians and look under Paul. Paul in Philippians. In Philippians chapter number 3. I'm going to turn there real quick. I know I got the end, but the Holy Ghost is pushing me. Go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Where is the book of Philippians? Got to find it. I'm in Ephesians. Got to keep going further. Need some Philippians. Where is it at? I know it's nearby. Got to go to Philippians. I think it's chapter 3. Yeah, it's chapter 3. Hallelujah. Let me go to chapter 3 and let me write this. He wrote this in verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. Paul is saying, I used to have confidence in the flesh and not necessarily confidence in my God. What does that mean? When you think you're everything apart from the power of God that's in your life. He said, I was circumcised on the 8th day. He was putting, hallelujah, his confidence in a ritual and a commandment that was given by God. He said, I was of the stock of Israel. He's looking at his lineage of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. He said that my education, because he learned under, hallelujah, Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, he was putting his confidence in his education. Hallelujah. Putting his confidence in his lineage. Putting his confidence, hallelujah, in the flesh. The Bible says concerning zeal, persecuting the church, he was putting confidence that he thought that he was doing the right thing. Hallelujah. By binding up Christians. He says touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. He thought he was keeping the law blameless, but we know there's none that's good. No, not one. But he was counting himself as being blameless because he didn't understand then what it knows now, and that if you break one part of the law, you're a lawbreaker, you're broken the whole law. But he thought it was blameless. Why? Because the flesh will trick you. The flesh will have you think you're better than what you really are when you put your confidence in the flesh. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He was getting stronger in the flesh, but weaker in the faith. He said, yet doubtless I count all these things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ the Lord. I was taking an L. I was taking a loss. But know what? It ain't how you start off. It's how you finish. He said, for whom I've suffered the loss of things and count them but done, that I might win Christ. I just wanted to throw that out there. He's somebody that put his confidence in the flesh. The 10 spies put their confidence in the flesh. They looked at the land. The land looked good, but they got scared of the people. Some of us are saved. We look at the things God has for us and they look good. But we mouse up and we get scared of people. You say, I don't get scared of people. Mm-hmm. That's why when they ask you tomorrow, how was your weekend? And the thing in your mind says it was good. And well, what did you do? Man, I got a revelation of God through the word. You won't say that to somebody who you don't believe is a believer. You'll mouse up. Even though God put it on your mind to say it. So you talk about something abstract. Why? Because you're afraid of the response of the people. That's being afraid of the people. And in doing that, you're putting confidence in your flesh because you want to survive. Confidence in your flesh. Oh, yeah, when you got mad at that person at your job, you spoke up then. Oh, can I talk to him? Can we be real? You found your confidence then. But you had no confidence in the things of God. I'm going to share one last thing and then we're going to go, I promise. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3. Proverbs 3. Starting with verse 25. Proverbs 3:25 says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. The wicked, they have their day, and it's going to come. Don't be afraid. He said, for the Lord shall be thy what? He's going to be your confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. That means you won't fall into the snare. That means he'll keep you. The reason why you can be confident is the Lord is your confidence. All your confidence is in him. 100% of your confidence is in him and not in you. When you have confidence in this flesh, you're going to fail every time. Trust me, I know. Every time I think I got this, every time I think I can do this, and I'm not celebrating Christ in me and through me and Christ being complete in my life, I fail. I don't know how to raise my kids. God does. I don't know how to work my job. God does. I got to attribute everything to him. Because when I do that, then I'm not putting confidence in me. I'm only putting confidence in God through me. Amen. So have confidence. Don't be afraid. And just know, part of your walk in God, part of your spiritual maturity is having confidence and knowing that God is your confidence. And with God as your confidence, you can do everything but fail. God bless you. God keep you. It's time for us to go. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We lift you high and we give you glory. Father, we thank you, Lord. I got through it, oh Lord. I was nervous, Lord, but you brought me through it. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that there's somebody, oh Lord, that's looking at their situation different. That there's somebody, Father God, that, Lord, their faith muscle has kicked in, oh Lord. And Lord, the things that they see that they thought they couldn't overcome in the flesh, Lord, they now seeing it through spiritual eyes, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for victory. I thank you, Lord, that you can cause them to triumph. I thank you, Lord, that your will shall be done. Now, Father God, as we leave this place, Lord, but not your presence, I pray, Father God, that you would strengthen your people. I pray, Father God, that if there's somebody out there, Lord, that doesn't know you, Lord, and the free pardon of their sin, Lord, that they would come before you, Lord, that they would bow before you, Lord, and they would say, I yield, I yield, I give up, I give in. I pray, Father God, that somebody will understand, Lord, that, Lord, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. I'm praying, oh Lord, that somebody would understand there's none that's good, no, not one, Lord, that we're all sinners, Lord, but we need to be saved through and by God's grace. Father God, I'm praying, oh Father God, for those out there, oh Father God, that would understand, Lord, that we have to redeem the time, Lord, that they might understand that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God, that you have raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved, Lord. That Father God, that Lord, that with the heart, hallelujah, man, hallelujah, believeth unto righteousness, and Lord, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for these your people, Lord. And Father God, though there be giants in the land, we will not be afraid. Because we believe, Lord, you're going to take us and bring us into the promised land, Lord. There's giants everywhere. Hallelujah. But as the songwriter said, he didn't bring us out to take us back again. But he brought us out that he could take us into the promised land. Father God, we recognize that promised land, Lord, as not being a physical place here right now on earth in the land of Canaan. But Father God, we're looking, Lord, for your kingdom, the new city of Jerusalem, Lord, that'll fall down from heaven, Lord, and be upon this earth, Lord. We're looking, Lord, for streets paved with gold. Father God, until then, we're anxiously going to await, Lord, going through trials and tribulations. But we know, Father God, and we are confident, Lord, that what you've promised, you're also able to perform, Lord. And so, Father God, we stand persuaded to know, Father, that you can do it. We thank you and we honor you and we praise you until the next time, if it be your will. Through Christ's sake, we pray, amen, and thank God. Lady J, what you got to say? Lady J, don't have anything right now. Amen. Put your hands together and let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. We're praising God for being God. He's an awesome God. He's worthy to be praised. I pray that everybody have a good week, a successful week, a great week in the things of God. Overcome every single giant that comes in your path. Hallelujah. And I pray you got the boldness to share what God has done for you. Hallelujah. Because you know that devil knows he only has a short time. But we can overcome him. Amen. By what? By the blood of the Lamb. And the word? By testimony. Amen. God bless you and God keep you.
Hello, and thank you again for listening. I'm Pastor Tracy Wilson. My wife and I, along with the Real Gospel Missionary Baptist Church family, thank you for joining us for today's podcast. We pray that something you heard makes a difference in your life. We invite you to join us again next week. And remember, let us not just be hearers of God's word, but doers of his word. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Stay blessed and don't stress.
To the enemies, not me or you, weapons are spiritual. They are not called.